First Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 26. I'll do my best to teach and not preach, but sometimes they cross each other's lines. But I'm going to do like Brother Wilson was saying, do whatever the Lord has put on my heart and the way. You know, I have no right to be here as a preacher other than God called me. But that's the only right I need. I'm no better than you. I'm just another beggar seeking bread, just like you are this morning. We're all just beggars seeking bread, right?
Sir.
The bread of life and the water of life. But I'm going to give you that which God has given me to the best of my ability, but I definitely need his help.
Yes.
And I need his power, and I need his spirit that lives within me. And I pray that you will have open ears and open minds to that which thus saith the Lord. I want to talk about some things that God has given us. Did y'all know we're, if you're saved today, you're rich? Amen. This is a rich bunch of people right here. Like my dad, I don't need to be rich. I just need rich friends. Amen. I don't need a boat. I just need to know somebody's got one so I can borrow it. That's better, isn't it? You don't have to pay the insurance. You don't have to do all those things. But we're a rich bunch of people here today. I think they just had another big lottery drawing, over $1 billion, you know. And we were talking about that last night and how people were just putting money in those machines and buying those lottery tickets, money, spending money that they didn't have. Couldn't afford to spend trying to get rich by this world standards. But you know what? I'm already rich.
Sir.
Mm-hmm. Amen. God has given me so much. Has God been good to you?
Yes.
Well, notify your face. Some of you haven't figured that out yet this morning. I know it's early. It's the first day of the meeting. But God has been good to us. Amen.
Yes.
And there's some things I want to mention this morning that God, I hope it'll remind you of the goodness of God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren." So he's talking to who?
Believers.
He's talking to us, we the believers, the church, not necessarily the organization or the building, but we the believers. "So you see your calling, brethren, how that not many," he didn't say not any, did he?
Sure.
But he said not many. There's not many wise men after the flesh. Not many wise men according to the standards of this world are called. You don't see many Bill Gates that God calls.
Sure.
Right? You don't see many Elon Musk that God calls. Others that you could think of wealthy or wise by the world standards. Not many of those is it that God calls. Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. There's not a lot of mighty men in this building today according to the world standards, right? There's not any of us in here that have prominence per se. That would influence our government to any extent, but I don't have to because I have a God.
That's right.
That he was just talking about, amen, high and lifted up, seated up on the throne, that supersedes anything that this world has to offer as far as authority. People don't like authority, do they? We all still have a little bit of rebellion in us because we still have the Adamic nature about us.
Yes, sir.
We still have that Adamic nature about us. And so there are no holier than thous in here this morning. There's none of us in that shape. But God hadn't called many mighty men. Not many noble, he says, are called. But, so now he told us who he didn't call for the most part, But he tells us now who he did call. Are you glad God called you?
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, you believe in predestination? Nope, not the way some teach it.
Sir.
No, I don't believe it's predetermined. I think God knows who is going to heaven and who is going to hell before you're ever thought in your parents' minds. He knows who's going to get saved. But we are still free to make that choice, right? And I think it was, and I don't want to be an advocate of one person or another. I saw someone the other day trying to, a girl asked a question. She said, if God knew that some were going to go to heaven and some were going to go to hell, and he created them anyway, why would he give us the choice when he knows some people were going to go to hell anyway? Why would he give you that choice? Why would he just not go ahead and force you to be saved? And he's not going to do that, by the way. Not going to cram salvation down your throat and say, you're going to get saved. In other words, the eye of Tulip, which is irresistible grace, which is not a Bible doctrine. It's a lie out of hell. It's a lie out of hell. There is no such thing as irresistible grace. So she said, why would God create us, and why would God give us free will, knowing that some of us were going to choose not to be saved and we're going to wind up in hell as our eternal destination? Why would God do that? That, she said, that can't be love. That can't be true love. Well, first of all, she probably didn't know anything about love. There's a lot of people that they have no idea what love is. They know a lot about lust.
Yes.
L-U-S-T. Which there's no comparison to that and love as God meant it to be. By the way, the only way we can love is by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And in my flesh, in my carnality, I can't love people like I should. There's no way I can love people like I should, because people are unlovable. Have y'all noticed that? Huh? Is any of you in here, is there ever a time in your life or a day in your that you're not lovable? Let me talk to your wife. Amen. Hey, let me talk to your husband. I was listening to my dad preach, and he was talking about, preacher, you don't know my husband. You don't know what I have to live with. Every day, I can't have any joy. And Dad said, well, if he had a chance to talk, he might say the same thing about you. you had to love. But she said, she didn't know anything about love. She said, how could that be godly, true love? And so I thought the guy gave a good example. And I'll use my dear wife for an example. Let's just say that I saw her and I was attracted to her, and I determined that she was going to be my wife whether she liked it or not. Now some of you might say, well, that came true. But I decided she's going to be my wife no matter what, Brother Wilson. And so I go and I kidnap her. That's what I did. That's why we got married so young. She was 16. But I go and kidnap her, and I bind her, Brother Tracy, and I hide her away in my basement, if I had a basement. And I go down there and I look at her eyeball to eyeball, and I say, you're going to marry me, and you're going to love me, and you're going to like it. You don't have a choice in the matter. Would that be true love? Huh? Would that be true love? Well, why would God do that to us? Could that be true love if God did that? Would that be true love on our part back to God if that's the way that we were called of him? If he kidnapped us and chained us and said, you're going to get saved. Here I am, I'm trying to teach. If we say, you're going to get saved whether you like it or not. That's not love, is it? And so I'm not a believer of predestined. I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ after I get saved.
Yes.
Yes. But I always say this, and I probably said it here through the years. When it comes to choice and predestination, I just say this: God chooses those who choose him.
Right?
God chooses those who choose him. It's up to me whether I wanted to get saved or not. The Holy Spirit came and called me, and I thank God for that day, amen. And I hope you can remember that day in your life. Because I can remember when the Holy Spirit of God came and knocked on my door, amen. And came to my house and came to me personally, amen. I'm glad you're saved, but I'm really glad he came to me, amen. I'm glad he came to you, but I'm really glad that he came to me. I'm super happy about the fact that he called me. I'm really happy that he called my wife and she got saved in 1986. And I'm glad for all of you in here that are saved. But I'm not as excited about your salvation as I am about mine.
That's right.
Yep, man. You ought to be excited about yours.
Yes, that's right.
You ought to be excited. You say, preacher, I ain't got nothing to be excited about. If you're saved, you do. Amen. You got everything in the world to be excited about. He said, but God hath chosen what? The foolish things. Not foolish things. He didn't stop there, did he? Of the world. He has not chosen the foolish things of the world to confound. He hath chosen the few. To do what? Why did he do that? To confound the wise. That's why Christianity don't make any sense to the unsaved. It confounded. Without the Holy Spirit of God opening your eyes to the truth. Am I right?
That's right, brother.
Without the Holy Spirit of God. I heard the truth for almost 18 years in preaching in my dad's church. With blinded eyes, the God of this world had me blinded to the truth. And it did not have 1 ounce of effect on my life. There's probably some that have sat in this church through the years that have heard all kinds of great preaching, but it did not have 1 ounce of effect on their life until the Holy Spirit of God lifted the scales from their eyes that the God of this world had put on them and blinded them to the truth. And man, we ought to shout and revel in the fact that the day, I don't want to say the process of salvation, but I can't think of a better word, when God opened our eyes, amen, and we finally realized the truth of God's word. And then conviction. We were convinced. Guess what? I was convinced that God was right.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right, sir.
I'm about to get excited. I'm convinced. I got convinced one day. I probably ain't even going to get to what I'm going to talk about. But I don't care. I'm glad. I was thinking about you, Brother Ed, when you got saved. I think at this church, right over there on that pew, when God convinced you, my brother, that this was the truth of God's word.
Yes.
And that you needed a Savior, else why you were going to hell. Oh, thank God for that day. Let your mind go back to when God called you. And he chose the few foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They're not supposed to understand this, folks, if they're not saved. They're two different families. There's only two kinds of people in this world, saved and lost, when it comes to spiritual things. Confound the wise. Verse 27, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why did he do that? He tells us in 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's why he didn't choose many mighty men. They glory in themselves. That's why he didn't choose those that are rich by the world standards, because they can buy their way. America thinks that money is the answer to everything.
Yeah.
We'll just print more money. Right? Every few months they face a budget crisis where they have to have a continuation bill to fund the government for another 9 months or 12 months. It's like, I never have figured out why they don't just sit down and make out a budget. Right? You have a budget at your home? I hope you do. I hope you know, well, this is going, this much is going out, this much is coming in. So this much right here is how I can spend, how much I can spend. Well, there's a lot of people that are not living by a budget. I see them at home. They're buying houses they can't afford. They're driving around in cars they can't afford. They're living on credit.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I've told you before, you know the best kind of car there is in the world? Paid for car.
That's right.
I don't care if it's a rust bucket. I don't care if it smokes like a diesel and it ain't a diesel. If it's paid for, that's a good car. Yeah, man. That's a good car. But these people, if he called mighty and if he called those who were high up in position, noblemen, if he called those who were rich, they would glory in themselves. You see that a lot in this day in which we live. I did this, I did that. Guess what? I didn't do nothing. Jesus did it all, amen. If I'd done it, I'd have messed it up.
Yes, sir.
If you'd done it, you'd have messed it up, amen. But I'm glad we had God in his perfection, amen, that provided salvation and provided us a perfect sacrifice and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and that his blood was once offered, amen, not to cover our sins, as he said, but to wash them away. You're looking at a guiltless man this morning. In the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Not in your eyes. Not in my eyes. You know whose sin I have the most trouble with, Brother Copeland? Mine.
Sorry.
Not yours. Mine. You know whose sin affects me most in life? Mine. Not yours. You're not my problem. I'm my problem.
Amen. That's where we are.
So, I can't glory. How can I glory in the presence of the one he just read about? Verse 30. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. Who of God? By God. He was made. Christ Jesus was made unto us. And there's four words, if you write in your Bible, underline them. He was made unto us. If not, try to remember them. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Well, that's a power-packed verse, isn't it?
Yes.
If we don't have anything else this morning, if you're born again, Jesus Christ has been made unto you, made for you, given to you by God, through God, and his... For God so loved the world, amen, through his marvelous, mighty, wonderful, matchless love has given us at least these four things through his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If we're going to glory this week, we're going to have to glory in the Lord, amen. Oh, if we're going to have any honor displayed in this, we're going to have to honor the Lord, amen. We're going to have to lift him up that he would. If we want anybody to be drawn to him this week, he's going to have to be lifted up. If you're going to get closer to God this week, he's going to have to be lifted up.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, revival's for the church, for the saved people. If somebody gets saved as a result of that, wonderful. That's all gravy. That's great. But revival is for us. And I may talk about that sometime this week. And I may say this, but I won't say this while it's on my mind. I may repeat it this week. But revival is not a one-week deal.
Amen. That's right.
Revival is not a two-day deal or a three-day deal. Revival is something that needs to take place in our life every day that we live.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
How many of y'all ever get up in the morning and you feel about half dead? Amen. That's a biblical term, by the way. You look it up. Half dead's in the Bible. You say, preacher, I don't know what that means. You will. If you ain't never felt it before, as you get older, you'll get up and you'll say, man, I feel about half dead this morning. You'll be looking for a Mountain Dew Kickstart. Get them at Dollar General. What's our favorite flavor? I forgot. I don't drink them. They make my heart beat too fast. I'm hyper enough as it is.
I can't imagine me.
Pam drinks them, but I drink coffee, but coffee makes me sleepy. I promise it does. It's like coffee calms, just gives me a calm feeling. It's like I drink. There's a lot of mornings. I woke up at 3:00 this morning. I can't do what I do at home. I get up and make coffee. I didn't want to make coffee with her at 3:00 in the morning. Yeah, you're gonna smell it. I didn't want her to say, "What are you doing?" But if I'm at home at 3:00 in the morning, I get up, I go in there and make me a cup of coffee, sit down in my recliner and drink my coffee. Then I go back to sleep. Try it sometime, just good. It's a good sedative. But whatever it is that, hey, if we're going to have any glory this week, it's going to have to be of God. I can't bring you revival.
That's right.
Yeah. You might. There might be some people here that are spiritually half dead this week. Spiritually, you're empty. You ever get empty spiritually? I do, so to speak. You know, your tank kind of runs low. A lot of things come in our lives, kind of drains us of the joy. And we lose that joy. And revive. You know what it means to be revived? It means to bring back to life. Yes. I hope we get brought back to life this week.
Yes, yes.
Amen. I hope we're not. I hope this church, and I don't think it is, and my dad's told this, and I've told this, but I don't think we're so dead that if somebody actually did die in our service, like that one church, and they carried out 10 people before they got the right one, I hope we're not that bad off. You know. There ought to be some life in us.
Yes.
Some life in us, folks. That we would glory in Him. But I've got about 5 more minutes here. Let me say this. All that we have from God. All that we have. Did you know even the sinner, all that they have,
yes,
is from God?
Sure is.
If a sinner has breath, guess where it comes from?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord. Right? Breath. God allows them to live. But all that we have, it comes from God. Everything that I have comes from the Lord. And these 4 things that God has given me through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm just saying, without Him, we're going to be empty in life. Amen. Empty in life. But wisdom. He's given us wisdom through Jesus Christ. There's a lot of knowledge in our world, isn't there? But knowledge without the wisdom of God is useless. It's vain. Our world is educated beyond understanding. I don't know how to say it. I guess a lot of educators would say we're living in the most educated era that we've ever lived in, right? I mean, college is available, right, to most people. School is definitely available. And so it's not that we have a lack of knowledge, but as it said in Timothy, they're ever learning. They are ever learning, aren't they? Everybody's studying something all the time. And there's nothing wrong with studying if you're studying the right stuff and learning the right things and learning the wisdom of God. But hey, wisdom, the wisdom of this world, it's no good. The knowledge of this world is no good without the wisdom of God. It's vain, it's useless.
Sir.
I always say, wisdom is that which God gives us in order to use knowledge that we have. And so, hey, be glad that God has given you wisdom. Aren't you glad when something's not right spiritually in your life or something, that a red flag runs up? Aren't you glad you know the truth, amen? Aren't you glad that every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along with some new religious theory, aren't you glad you don't just jump on their bandwagon, amen? And get that entertainment IV stuck in your arm for a little while. Then when that runs out, you have to go find the next bandwagon and jump on that. Or they have to go down the road to the next church that has a little better entertainment or the next. But no, I'm glad we don't have to do that, amen.
when we have the God of heaven, amen, the Spirit of God that lives in our heart, and He gives us the wisdom that we need to use the knowledge that He's given us.
Yes.
Yes. He's given us wisdom, folks. We're not only rich, we're smart. Now, if y'all ain't feeling good about yourself by now, I ain't even preaching at 12 o'clock. I mean, 11 o'clock, whatever. We're just singing, we're going to go eat. But if you're not feeling good about what God's given you,
oh, yeah. He's good.
Sure. The wisdom. Number two, he talks about righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us.
That's right.
I can't even tell you what that filthy rag is. You have to look it up for yourself. It is filthy. And any righteousness that I would try to portray that I have, it's like a filthy, putrid rag in the sight of God.
Yeah.
But I do have righteousness today because God has given it to me through His Son, Jesus Christ. That which I could not attain in myself, I attained through Him, amen. And as Brother Wilson said, I am righteous in the sight of God. My sins are gone, amen. They're not covered by the blood. That's Old Testament theology. We don't have to make sacrifices every week to cover our sin and to keep our fellowship with God. Like I said, Jesus made that sacrifice, and I rest in His blood, amen. And I rest in His righteousness, and I revel in His righteousness. And I'm glad, the devil tried to tell me I'm not righteous. How can you be saved and think what you just thought? How can you be saved and say what you just said? How can you be saved and feel the way that you feel? I'm going to tell you how I can be saved, amen. Because the righteous Son of God came to this earth, amen, and shed His precious blood, and I received that. And He washed away all of my sins, amen. That's how I can say that, amen. That's how I can tell you I'm right before God. That's how I can tell you I'm clean every whit.
Yes.
Because of Him. Amen.
Because of the righteousness that God gave me through His Son.
Yep. That's right.
Number three uses that word sanctification. Separation, set apart. He's given me sanctification. He's set me apart. He has separated me. I hope that I'm not misspeaking here, but you know, positionally, I'm sanctified or set apart. When I got saved, I was set apart for God. I'll always be His.
Yes.
Positionally, I'm sanctified today.
That's right.
I'm set apart. The devil can't get to me. I don't belong to him anymore. Oh, God can give him permission to do some things in my life like He did Job, but He can't get me, amen.
Right.
He can't take me to hell. He can't possess. He might oppress me, but He cannot possess me.
That's right. Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Sometimes we were walking down the street. The other day we went to Pigeon Forge for a couple of days. And of course, they had to get liquor in up there on the streets up there, moonshine. You know, free tastings. If they ever ask me, do I want any? I'm going to say, ma'am or sir, I'm crazy enough sober. You don't want to see me drunk. I don't want to see me drunk.
Sir.
I'm like Brother Mae Jackson. I didn't quit drinking, I just changed families. Amen. I like that. That's a good way to put it. Amen. I just started drinking from a different fountain.
That's right.
But I'm positionally sanctified, but I'm being progressively sanctified
as
well.
Amen. That's right.
Not progressive in the way of the world.
Yeah.
Used to be liberals. Now they're progressives. Now they're trying to figure out what they are. I am too. What was that? Pam says, I don't know. I was hoping you knew. But God is progressively more and more in my life. I'm not going to ever get to where I need to be, but I'm being conformed to the image of Christ,
right,
as it says in Romans 8. Progressively, I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. He sets me apart more every day, every week, every month. You know, it's sad. There's some people been saved. Well, they say they have for 30 years, and they're no different. now than it was when they first got saved. They're not grown. They're like Paul said, you're like babes. They're still having to drink from the bottle. They can't take the meat of God's word. I was thinking, man, there's a lot of people in this world that couldn't handle the preaching like my dad did. Well, he'd clean out of church pretty quick. Independent Baptist churches, by the way. But progressively. And then I'm permanently, I'm going to be permanently set apart one day, sanctified, because I'm going to heaven.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, death, where's your sting? I'm going to have to put on immortality. This mortal must put on immortality. Death has lost the battle.
That's right.
Jesus, the first fruits, overcame death. Therefore, I have overcome death. You may put my body in the grave, but you ain't going to kill me. You may take my life. Pamela asks me sometimes, I'll say, did you know so-and-so died? She'll say, what happened to him? I said, their heart quit beating. I'll do it every time. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you quit breathing, heart quit beating for any length of time. That'll do it. But you know what? That's not the end for me.
That's right.
It's only the beginning. And then that last word, and I'm done. I'm a little, about 5 minutes over.
Sorry.
That word redemption, he's given me the gift of redemption. He bought me back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
He bought me back.
Amen.
I was in debt. I couldn't pay the bill. But Jesus came and paid. He was the propitiation,
yes,
the substitute. All of mankind, and he bought me back.
Yes.
He paid for me. I'm redeemed. Man is still trying, but they can't redeem themselves. Pam and I walk about every day in Tanglewood Park. Nice park out there close to our house. Good to see a lot of deer. 1,100 acres. Mr. Reynolds at R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company used to own it. It was his private, one of his many private retreats, and he gave it to Forsyth County sometime. They made a county park out of it. Well, we walk out there a lot, and I noticed there were two girls. There's always Jehovah's Witness out there, and used to be Mormons out there. Jehovah's Witness set up their stand. They have their literature. They sit there as you walk by. They don't approach you. They'll say hello or whatever. They don't ask you anything. You have to open up a conversation with them. But we were walking, and there were these two young ladies, probably in their mid-20s. I noticed they would always be sitting out there on the bench. And so I got to looking at the name tag, and it was Latter-day Saints, LDS. I'm a PDS. Are y'all present-day saint?
Sorry.
They're LDS, I'm PDS. I'm also ADD. Among many other things, ADDH, whatever all that is. I had that before they knew what it was. Ask mom. When you get to heaven, ask my mama. You don't believe it. But there was two ladies. And so one day we stopped, struck up a conversation with them. I said, I'm going to have a conversation with you. You're not going to try to convert me. I'm not going to try to convert you. I just want to see what you got to say. I said, you ask me questions, I'm going to ask you questions. And they were so nice. By the way, they work a lot harder than we do.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen no Baptist sitting out there. I ain't never seen no representative from Baptist church sitting out there in the park. I don't see them nowhere. But anyway, I said, I know a little bit about you. I said, now I'm an old independent Baptist preacher. I said, I'm your enemy, I guess, in your eye. I said, you're probably taught to stay away from me. I said, but I ain't really all that bad. I said, look at this good-looking woman I'm married to. You know, it got to be something good about me. She was attracted to me. But I said, they don't believe in hell.
That's right.
They don't believe in any hell. They don't believe in hell at all. There is no hell. in the eyes of the Mormons. I said, well, what's the use of getting saved? And I'm talking in the eyes of a human. And I may not, I'm sorry, brother.
You're right, brother. Quit.
And if people are out there waiting to come in, Andrew, tell them, come on in, he ain't going to bother me. But I need to tell this. It's on my heart. She said, well, there are three kingdoms available to all human beings. And the first kingdom is where you're closest to God. Then you're the second kingdom, you're further away from God. The third kingdom, you're even further away from God. So I said, so that's your only reason for doing what you're doing? She said, yeah, we want to get in the first kingdom. And I mean, I can't tell you all that we said. But I thought, wow, that's how they're getting redeemed? That's how they think they're being redeemed. It is. And I had a chance to witness to them, and I did, and one of the girls asked me a lot of questions. She was interested. I hope I planted a seed.
Yes.
It might bring some fruit. She said, how long y'all been married? I said, 50 years. She said, well, if you ever want to something about your vows, if you ever want to confirm your vows, come out to the temple. I thought, they ain't going to let me in the Mormon temple in Salt Lake. I got on the wrong kind of underwear.
That's right.
That's true.
Amen?
That's true.
Got on the wrong kind of underwear. I didn't tell them that. I would have if I thought of it. But it's like, come on out to the temple and you can if you ever wanted something about your vows. I said, I don't need to do that. I did that before God.
Yeah.
50 years ago. She went, She didn't know what to say then. Aren't you glad God got a hold of you?
Yes. Amen.
Before religion did. Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad you have these things? Aren't you glad? I'm redeemed. Yes. My love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine.
Yes,
sir. Amen. All to him I now resign. I'm redeemed. That gives me Holy Ghost goosebumps.
Yes, sir.
I've been bought back, Brother Mike. Amen. The devil can't have me. He don't have any right to me anymore. Glory. Hallelujah! That's something to shout about, amen. You know what preach means? Proclaim with a loud voice, Hosanna, the King is coming, amen. I'm announcing to you today, the King's coming. He might come right now, amen, while we're sitting here this, and we that are saved are going to be snatched away, amen.
Yes.
Amen. You can have it, but if you're not saved, you can have my food. I used to tell our church, I said, look, if the Lord comes back, I know there'll be enough of you here to have service Wednesday night. They didn't like that. And I said, Brother Roger will be preaching. He was one of my preacher boys. He said, no, I'm not. I'm redeemed.
Amen.
Father, thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Bless us now. This week, this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.